We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we start out another week covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, from the studios here at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital, the South Point Studios, streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. And, of course, we welcome all of our other listeners and watchers on many different other platforms that we have, like our local radio station here, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, doing the Sports Talk here with the Race Day shows, and, of course, play-by-play of the L.A. Rams NFL games. And, of course, on our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, all those dots. We just got them dot away, that's for sure. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasting. And we haven't forgotten all of you out there with your devices, your iPhones, Androids, and Google phones. You can get your apps at your app store for the KSHP to listen to us through the radio station or the YouTube app that you can see and hear us through the YouTube streaming at YouTube.com. And, of course, you just go there and then you'll search out for the South Point Studios network. You'll click that and you get to Race Day. You click that and here you are. Here we are. Not only that, but if you want to chat in our chat room, and the chat room has been very active in the last couple of weeks. We love that. They not only comment on the show, but comment certainly on maybe picking horses with each other as well. And you can participate in the chat room. Real simple. When you get to our site, you go to the subscription. You hit the subscription button. It is free. You just click on subscription. If you're not already there, just subscribe. It is absolutely free. And that subscription will allow you to get into the chat room and start chatting away. So we welcome you, however, whenever you get to the show. However you get to us, we welcome you. Well, you know, now we're ramping it up towards the holiday weekend. Next weekend, of course, 1 week from today will be Christmas Day. We will not have a show on Christmas Day 1 week from today. But we will be ready and set to go the day after Christmas on Thursday the 26th with the opening of Santa Anita. And what a great opening they are going to have there as far as the racing card is concerned. You take a look at all of those stakes races. It's going to be a lot of fun on that day. So we're off Monday and Tuesday as we normally are, Wednesday for Christmas, and we'll be back on the day after Christmas, which is December 26th, a week from tomorrow. A week from today, of course, is Christmas. And as you know, up until that day, no racing in Southern California to speak of, no racing at all in Southern California. Northern California, Pleasanton Racecourse, unfortunately, they have withdrawn their extension for racing in Northern California at Pleasanton. We'll have a little bit more conversation on that with John Lindo a little bit later on. But the Golden State Racing Association withdrew their request for the extension that it would have taken them through the beginning of next year and well into next year because they just weren't making it there. They were just in a deficit. And so First Racing, the company that owns Santa Anita, came out with a statement, and we may be able to get to that statement a little bit later on and tell you about it. But what they said is they now want to consolidate California Racing at Santa Anita, which means that they're going to make some accommodations for the horses and the horsemen who are left in Northern California to come down to Southern California and participate there in racing there and write some races in the condition book that are conducive to the stock that they have in Northern California, because one of the big obstacles was the fact that the Northern California racing circuit isn't as in deep and or high as far as class levels are than they are in Southern California. And so what they're going to do is they're going to try to adjust that. First Racing is trying to adjust that because they want what they intended, I guess, to do is get all of the racing in Southern California and mostly at Santa Anita and then have the statewide, betting option. Of course, the people in Northern California can now bet through simulcasting and their phone apps, et cetera, and make it one big pool in Southern California. But that does hurt a lot of the Northern California trainers and horsemen. So for the moment, today is going to be the last day at Pleasanton, the final day of racing at Pleasanton for a while because they withdrew their extension with the California Horse Racing Board this week, okay? So today, it's not usually on the schedules, but it is a special racing day today at Pleasanton. They have 82 horses over their final day of racing. With this final day at Pleasanton, whatever pools are out there will be mandatory payoffs today. So Pleasanton will have mandatory payoffs today, and it is closing day for them today. They will not race there after today, as they were expecting to get an extension, but they just can't make it anymore. They can't do it. So that's that there. So that's what we got going on. And as you know, that'll be the last day of racing in the state of California, as I say, because Southern California, of course, racing won't resume until the day after Christmas. As far as New York is concerned, Aqueduct is going to take a holiday break. They'll come back, I believe, not the day after Christmas, but I think the weekend of after Christmas, which I think is the 28th. If I can get Jonathan Ardoon to nod his head to me. Is that right, Jonathan, the 28th? Yes, the 28th is the return day for Aqueduct. So We'll get that done. And so we do have racing this week, though, at places like Oaklawn Park. That'll be that'll come back on Friday. Gulfstream Park will continue. That'll start on Thursday. And we do have 9 tracks with the addition of Pleasanton on the docket for today. So as we move towards the holiday, that's what we got in store for you on the Race Day Show. Of course, we'll still have Jonathan Hardoon with us. Jonathan's got a pick today. Rich Eng will be along with us with all the college and pro football still going on through the holidays. He'll give us his thoughts on those games on the daily basis. And, of course, he'll have a pick for, I believe it's Turfway Park Day. He has a pick for racing at Turfway Park. John Linda will be with us. He'll be in studio here on Friday and Saturday with us live here in studio. But I do want to talk to him about the situation up at Pleasanton as well as maybe taking a look at some of the great stakes races that will be on tap opening day, the day after Christmas at Santa Anita. And, of course, we've got Jerry Jackowitz. Jerry Jackowitz wants to talk about finding key horses in key plays that you can access. So we got a lot to go on today's show, that's for sure. And, of course, your racing menu as well. Other news, Torpedo Anna had a jawbone repair, they say, a jawbone repair procedure. What happened was she had a small splint in her jaw, a small bone splint that was coming out that was irritating her. It's known as a sequestrum. That's what the vets call it, a sequestrum. Sometimes it's due because when you put the bit in the mouth of the horse, sometimes if she's hard in the bit, which they say she is, she's pretty hard-headed in the bit, and sometimes it'll cause maybe a splint. So whatever happened, the sequestrum was discovered, and they extracted the splint, and they did it while she was standing. She didn't have to go. She didn't have to do much more than just stand in the stall, and she walked. She was walking shortly after that. So it was just more of a procedure than anything else. And Kenny McPeak, her trainer, said she'll be okay to get back to the racetrack and resume training in about 2 weeks. They wanted to heal there because naturally, when you take a horse out onto the racetrack, you got to put the bit back in the mouth, and that might create a little bit of soreness after the extraction if they don't get enough time to heal. So he says about 2 weeks, and then she'll be back on the racetrack. Just a little bit of a procedure on Torpedo Anna over the weekend. There is one race left this month for Kentucky Derby points, and that is the Gunrunner Stakes. That'll happen at the fairground on Saturday. The fairgrounds on Saturday has 8 stakes races, and amongst them will be the Gunrunner. It holds 10 Kentucky Derby leaderboard points, and that's the last one for this month as far as the two-year-olds becoming three-year-olds next month. That'll be that at the Gunrunner out at the fairgrounds amongst 7 other stakes races. Got a big stakes race weekend coming up at the fairgrounds. Gulfstream Park will have 5 stakes races. They'll have a grade 2 and 2 grade 3s among the 5 stakes races at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. Laurel Park will also have 4 stakes races on Saturday, and Oaklawn Park will have a stakes race as well, looking at those tracks coming up this weekend. Other news, Full Serrano, the winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, remember that, the last race on Breeders' Cup Day, is going to miss not only the Lafitte Pinkai Jr. Stakes on opening day at Santa Anita, but also will not be making it to the Saudi Cup. He had a small injury. John Sadler, his trainer, wouldn't indicate what the injury was, but he said he had a small injury. I guess it was in training. And he'll miss not only the Pinkai Stakes, but also the Saudi Cup in Saudi Arabia. He's going to have 60 days off now, Full Serrano, before getting back to training there. They wrapped up Remington Park over the weekend. Remington Park, Steve Asmussen got his 19th training title at Remington Park with 60 wins during their meet. And his top, the jockey that rode a lot of his winners, his number one guy at Remington, Stuart Elliott, who is 59 years old, believe it or not, got his second riding title. He won 91 races during the meet, a lot of them with the Asmussen trained horses. If you remember, Stuart Elliott was the rider of Smarty Jones back in 2004 when he won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes. So congratulations to Steve Asmussen and Stuart Elliott for a fine performance this year at Remington Park. And I got to tell you this story. This came to me, and I thought to myself, what? Turf Paradise is going to hold what they call the National Thoroughbred League's racing on the 30th of December. It's the National Thoroughbred League's racing on the 30th of December. It's thoroughbred racing, but it's called the National Thoroughbred League. I guess they have a series of races or whatever. But the track is seeking approval from the Arizona Racing Commission to dye 100 yards of the turf course home stretch blue. They want to dye the track 100 yards in the stretch to the wire blue on that day for the National Thoroughbred League's racing. I don't know who came up with this idea, but now the general manager, Vince Francia, said he has concerns because horses are colorblind. Yes, they are. But they can discern different shades of from black to gray to white. And with the difference in the dye of blue to green, it might have a different shade of gray. And so he's wondering, he's concerned about the horses running over the track, and then all of a sudden the track becomes a little bit of a different hue of gray to them. So I just thought that was crazy. But we'll wait and see if the Arizona Racing Commission decides to give them the okay to turn the track blue. Well, at least they're trying. All right, so that's what we got on tap for today. I want to remind everybody out there that, again, we won't have a racing show on Christmas Day, Wednesday, 1 week from today. That's the only day we'll be taking off because, after all, we want to see what Santa brings us under the tree. And also, today's the final day of racing at Pleasanton for a while. So now we got all that came across my desk. Time to get to work, so we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we'll have your racing menu, and of course, and then we'll get to Jonathan Hardoon, who I'm sure has a comment or two about a few of the things that I just said, and probably even more. So during this holiday season, we just, wish you a very happy holiday as you're going about making your late plans and your final plans for the holiday coming up, and we'll be right back on the Race Day Show. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday as we kick off a busy week for everybody, that's for sure. Kind of a little bit more calm here now with the Cowboys finally wrapping up over the weekend. But boy, did we have a lot of fun with the National Finals Rodeo here. Always a pleasure to have those folks here. Now we're starting to concentrate on waiting for opening day at Santa Anita, along with trying to make some money with the racetracks that we got this week. And of course, all of that great college football bowl action. We got the NFL getting down to its nitty-gritty as far as the playoffs are concerned, et cetera. So it's still a lot of action going on here in Las Vegas. As far as the weather is concerned, look, we're getting a little bit warmer this week. It's only 44 degrees outside right now. But the good news is the daytime highs are going to be between the mid to high 60s. As a matter of fact, we're going to get to 67 today. We're flirting with 70. And that's the way it's going to be for right up until, I understand, Tuesday, right through Tuesday. We're going to have overnight lows between the high 30s, very high 30s, and the mid to low 40s. And in the daytime, we're going to go between the mid to high 60s in the daytime with plenty of sunshine, some cloud cover, but plenty of sunshine and no wind. As far as the nation is concerned, the Great Northwest is getting more slammed with another front that's going to be coming through there, and California's, by the way. And they got snow up there in Idaho and Washington and Oregon. And as far as the Upper Plains are concerned, the Upper Plains are just going to be cold. As far as the Midwest is concerned, you got some action going on that's going to, you've got snow and a lot of rain going through the Midwest over Ohio, et cetera, and it's going to get its way to the East Coast in a few days for sure as well. So that's kind of like the weather around the country. But as far as today and racing conditions are concerned, New York is 53 degrees with a chance of getting showers there. Miami is 79. Tampa is 81. Tampa Bay will be racing there. 81 degrees in Tampa. Wow. L.A. is going to be 81 today. As I say, there's a warm front moving through the southwest. And Phoenix, Arizona, will be 80 degrees there. As far as the cold spot, meow. International Falls, 14 degrees for its high today up there on the northern border of the good old U.S. of A. Okay, time to get started with the racing menu of racetracks available today. We remind you, first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas. We're in the Pacific time zone. So these will be the post times, first post times that roll out in our race books here in Las Vegas today. If you're in the Pacific time zone, these will be your post times. If you're in any of the other time zones that we span around the world, we'll just adjust your time zone to the Pacific time zone to get the first post times right, because I don't want you to miss any. I don't want you to miss getting a shot at making some money like I miss mom and dad, okay? So make sure you adjust those post times. All right, we begin the racing menu with Parks Racing. Parks Racing has a Pick 5 jackpot carryover today. Their Pick 5 jackpot carryover, $126,126. $126,126, how about that? That's the Pick 5 jackpot carryover at Parks Racing. Their first post time is at 9:05. Then we go to Tampa Bay Downs next. Tampa Bay Downs has a Pick 6 jackpot carryover of $25,069. They also have a regular Super High 5 carryover of $3,230. Their first post time is at 9:25. Then we move to Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley has a Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $17,781. Their first post time is at 9:45. Following that is Zia Park. Zia Park in New Mexico. Zia Park has a first post time of 11:05 there. Then we go to Turf Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona, with a green turf course still. Turf Paradise has a first post time of 11:40. They've got a Pick 6 jackpot carryover at Turf Paradise of $54,130. $54,130 in the Turf Paradise Pick 6 jackpot carryover there. Following that will be Pleasanton Racetrack. As we say, Pleasanton is closing day there. Mandatory payouts on all their pools at Pleasanton today. Their first post time is 12:15. 12:15 at Pleasanton Racecourse on its closing day today. Following that, we have Delta Downs. Delta Downs will kick in with their racing program at 2:50. 2:50 for Delta. Turfway Park will have their first post time at 2:55. They've got a carryover and a Super High 5, a regular Super High 5 there of $4,465. They also have a Pick 6 jackpot carryover of $93,353. Turf Paradise, first post time is at 2:55. And then we wrap it up with Penn National. Penn Nat has a first post time of 3:15 today. So we got plenty of racetracks out there available today, even though most of major racing in Southern California and New York have been suspended until after the holiday. Now we go out to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. You changed your name of Turfway Park to Turfway Paradise, I see, on that menu.
Turfway. Well, Turfway can be a paradise if you hit that Pick 6 jackpot.
or any of those pick fives that they give away every day. Yeah, they're pretty good.
It is. They got some good stuff. As a matter of fact, I think Richie's got a pick at Turfway Park today. If they're going to make a Turfway Paradise for us and try to win that.
Right. All right, you're not sure if it's Turf Paradise or Turfway, so it's Turf Paradise. There you go.
In any case, something happened on Sunday at Aqueduct that was behind the scenes, but I thought was something that could mean a little, could be something more, important and something more serious later on. The first post time was delayed 14 minutes at Aqueduct on Sunday, but it had nothing to do with track conditions or anything else. It had something to do with an employee status dispute. Do you know what all that's all about?
The valets were going on strike, and that was their leverage was not to work Sunday, closing it. By the way, Ralph, they return on the 27th. Oh. I gave you bad information. I told you the 28th. They return on the 27th, just like Santa Anita does.
Okay.
Anyway, there was valets wanted to go.
No. Santa Anita starts on the 26th, the day after.
Okay, so, right. So
Aqueduct will start the day after that on the 27th.
Correct, on Friday the 27th.
And it's Turf Paradise and Turfway Park. So there you are. We have all the corrections now. Go ahead.
Now that we messed everyone up, you're right. But the valets the jockey valets were going on strike, and I guess they resolved at the last minute, but they were threatening to walk out. So that was what the holdup was.
Now, I understand that somehow or another, one of the valets got refused entrance to the jocks room, right? That started?
Yeah.
For some,
some of them belong to a union and some don't.
Oh, I see. So it was maybe the union was flexing muscles. So in other words, everybody was waiting for the races to start, and there were no valets coming out to saddle the horses. Is that the deal?
Exactly. You were on your own. If you were a jock, you were on your own. Carry your own saddle out and saddle them up yourself.
Okay, but it was settled. It was only a 15-minute delay, and then they got it settled. But I thought to myself, well, that was awful. You know, it was strange. But then again, that's not as strange as a blue turf course.
That's ridiculous. I mean, have they tried it? Do they know what a horse is going to do once he decides to step on it? Last week, there was a puddle on the track at Aqueduct, if you remember.
And the horse.
Exactly.
And it was so
I would think twice before I put anything on that track without at least checking it out, you know, beforehand. But that's what they did. That's what they want to do. That's just crazy. And you made a great point. They can't even afford water trucks. They rent them, but they're going to spend money on dyeing the turf course blue or whatever.
I will put a little caveat to that. I don't think that the racetrack is investing them. I think the people who are, promoting this National Thoroughbred Leagues, whatever it is of races, decide to make it different, I guess, to make them stand out. They make it different, you know. They thought, well, let's
say all we need is something to go wrong, and then they'll never have the end of it. They're setting themselves up for a disaster. There's no upside to doing this. None.
I want to know, by the way, where Heiss is at on this deal. They should have shut that thing down right away, right?
Heiss is too busy counting whip violations. What could I tell you?
You know, with the technology they have now with the TV, because now you see sometimes at a racetrack, if there's a big race, when the horses come on the track, there's a big emblem on the...
Yeah, at Del Mar, they do it. If you remember on TVG, on Del Mar, they show you the name of distance of the race or whatever. They can do it on a TV.
So just put a filter on the water. Make the turf course on TV blue. What do you got to actually make the track blue?
Crazy. And
you think they have more bigger problems in racing than worrying about a blue racetrack? All right. Anyhow,
I certainly agree with you, sir.
Anyhow, by the way, you know, I wanted to mention we're always talking about Christmas, but Hanukkah. When does Hanukkah start?
It's actually it's in line with Christmas this year.
Okay, so it starts when?
The first night of Christmas, I think, is the first night of Hanukkah.
First night of Hanukkah. I love your religion when they say, was it 9 days now or 8 days?
Eight days.
And you get a gift every day, don't you?
The kids do. Not the adults, but the kids do.
All right. So we want to wish everybody out there a happy Hanukkah. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And happy anything else out there that you want to celebrate.
Kwanzaa, whatever we have on the list. We'll just give everybody.
We want everybody to just celebrate and be happy. That's all.
Exactly.
That's all we want. And safe racing. Please, safe racing. All right. So I guess we'll kind of wait for, the big races after Christmas Day at Santa Anita. But I got to tell you, it's kind of interesting, the big racing coming up this weekend. Fairgrounds has got 8 stakes races. The Gun Runner for 2
and Gulfstream also.
Gulfstream also. 5 of them.
Five on Saturday.
Yeah, for the championship meet. I understand John Linda was telling me that he thought the card on Saturday at Gulfstream was going to be outstanding.
That's what they said. They already drew. It is a fantastic card, full fields. And, this is their championship meet. It's supposed to be. And without California and New York running, they should really, be main stage this weekend.
Boy.
And
they ought to get a monster handle. If they got a good card on Saturday at Gulfstream, they ought to have a monster handle with the people from New York jonesing for something to do and the people in California jonesing for something to do. It ought to be something. Well, now you'll have a Gulfstream sheet, no doubt.
I'm actually adding Fairgrounds this weekend. I had a couple of requests, so I figured I'd put it up.
Okay, Fairgrounds now, of course, has those 8 stakes races on Saturday. So you'll be fully equipped to help us out with all those stakes races. So what I think I'll do...
Oaklawn Fairgrounds and Gulfstream Selections.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to split it up a little. So on Friday, we'll go over the Fairgrounds stakes races. How about that, okay? And then Saturday we'll go over the Gulfstream stakes races.
And sounds like a plan.
I want to get it covered for all of our listeners and watchers out there, our people out there. Okay. So for today,
yes, sir.
But we got something. We need to, come on. We need to make some money today. I don't want to be walking around lucky, and not be able to make a bet because then you won't even
don't waste your luck.
So you don't want to waste your luck. So we got something today.
Yeah, we're going to look at the third race today at Tampa. It's a mile on the turf, and I like the number 6 horse in here, Jesse. This is a 3-year-old filly from the Gerard Ochoa barn. This horse ran last on December 11th. It's important to have a race over that turf course. This horse ran very well that day. She gets a rider switch today to Sonny Leone, and everybody remembers him from winning the Derby a few years back. The horse is listed at 6-1 on the morning line. I like number 6, Jassy, to win today's third race at a Tampa Bay Downs.
Okay, number 6, Jassy or Jassy, however you want to pronounce it. Let's just pronounce it a winner, huh?
Well, I listened to the replay because I wasn't sure, and the announcer called him Jassy, so I'm going to call her Jassy
as
well.
And so am I. So if it's wrong, we can blame the announcer and not us. So in the third race at Tampa Bay... Number 6, Jassy, is the pick at 6-1 on the morning line. Now, I got to ask you a question because on the Horse Racing Nation website, which is a website I recommend that everybody has, you got to go to the website every day. They do a great job. They really do a great job, Horse Racing Nation. But on the Horse Racing Nation website, they broke down the Bettors, the Gamblers Best Friend Awards for Jockey of the Year, okay? This is jockeys, from the betting aspect of it, us playing our money down. Who do you think was the Jockey of the Year for the Bettors this year?
I give up.
All right, through December 15th, they say, at the Horse Racing Nation website, there were 105 jockeys with at least 600 mounts this year. Of those 105, only one had a flat bet profit across their amounts, and it was Dylan Davis.
Wow.
How about that?
You know why? Because he still flew under the radar for a while. He was winning a lot of races in a colony that had Flavian Pratt, the Ortiz brothers, Tyler Gaffleone. He was riding against all of them, and wow, that's pretty good. And now he's going to move his tack to Gulfstream starting the first of the year, I guess, in January.
The jockey that was most proficient on favorites when it comes to chalks, who do you think that was?
Flavian Pratt.
Luis Saez.
Wow.
Of the 38 jockeys with at least 150 rides on the favorites, they say, Only Saez had a positive ROI of 1.3% with a plus 19% Horse Race Nation eye there. So he got the big one for connecting with favorites.
Did they put trainers up there? What trainer showed a flat profit? I don't think
no,
so.
No, these are for a column was for jockeys only. It's on the Horse Racing Nation website, and it breaks down other categories as well. But that was really interesting. Dylan Davis, out of all of those jockeys, only one. Let me check out, see if they have a long shot category. Long shots. Let me see here. We got the favorites here. I'll try to find it on the break. All right. So, I like James Graham as a long shot rider in down there in the fairground circuit in Kentucky. I think he outperforms as well, but and then we have several other jockeys I'm sure around that got those little pockets as well. All right, so we've got number 6 Jassy in the third race today at Tampa Bay. Anything else?
That'll do it, Ralph. I will see you tomorrow, bright and early.
Before we go, now you have one sheet today. You got a full sheet for Tampa, right? Tampa Bay.
Correct. Tomorrow we have Gulfstream and Fairgrounds up. First day of doing Fairgrounds tomorrow.
So. You got it, my man. Okay, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Rich Ang is standing by. I know he's got a pick for us at Turfway Park, but more importantly, there is a game tonight that affects us fans here of our UNLV college football team. They are playing tonight in a bowl game, and we got to get the skinny on their chances from Rich Ang, so don't go away.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation and their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting t2t.org.
No service member who has put on a uniform and served our nation should be without a home and the services they need. I'm Dave Pordy, and I'm asking for your help. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation promises to eradicate veteran homelessness across the country so that no service member who has served our nation will be without a home and the services they need. That's why I'm asking you to contribute $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
Race Day Las Vegas. Before we get to Rich Ang, I did find it on the Horse Racing Nation website today. They have a good fun column about the jockeys of the year as far as the bettors are concerned from the betting angle of that. Now, we already told you about Dylan Davis becoming the only jockey to have an ROI in a positive. As far as turf races, There were 31 jockeys that rode at least 250 turf races, and five had positive ROIs that include Dylan Davis as well. But the guy that was the biggest winner as far as on the green was, and you might expect this because myself and John Lindo and et cetera, always talk about this guy in Southern California on the grass, Hector Barrios. They say was a green machine, winning 21.1% of the time, posting a 38.9% ROI on the grass. And as far as the long shots, there were 28 jockeys who rode at least 300 horses with odds of 10 to 1 or higher. And Edgar Morales was the man of the year for the long shots. He registered an impressive 19% ROI on long shots. So there you have it. It's a great little column to read, that's for sure. Now time to go to Rich Eng, standing by in Southern California. I mean, not in Southern California. Somewhere here in the south of Nevada, in Las Vegas. So, Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right, so UNLV is playing tonight. What's the bowl game? What is it?
It's called the L.A. Bowl, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's at SoFi Stadium, where the Rams and the Chargers play, and UNLV versus University of California Bears.
All right, so we know that UNLV had an outstanding season this year as far as they are concerned with the with Mr. Odom, but Odom left, and he's now going to Purdue. But I guess his assistant is now our new coach. I understand this new coach got a big contract to stay with UNLV, so he'll be on the sideline tonight, right?
Well, the replacement for Odom, who went to Purdue, is Dan Mullen, who was not on the staff. In fact, if you watched ESPN college football coverage, he was one of the analysts, but he has experience from a number of major top five schools. So he's considered a good hire considering the budget restraints of UNLV. So Dan Mullen's the new head coach. However, for the bowl game, one of the assistants, Del Alexander, is coaching. And there was an announcement late last night, Ralph, that the offensive coordinator, a fellow named Brennan Marion, who is responsible for that go-go offense that has been so successful for the Rebels, last night he accepted the job at Sacramento State, so he is not going to coach in the bowl game. That's a late change, but when Alexander, I saw a quote from him saying that they have yet to decide who's going to be calling the plays, but the offense is going to stay exactly the same. They're going to run it that way.
All right. So with all these changes, et cetera, what say you?
Well, you know, I mentioned last week that the biggest thing to keep an eye on for these college bowl games, there's kids going to the transfer portal, so they're sitting out the game. There's kids getting ready for the NFL draft, so they're sitting out the game. And there's also coaching changes, which, for example, like UNLV. So for California, the biggest changes, their starting quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, is in the transfer portal. He will not play. One of the reserves, a kid named C.J. Harris, will start. He's thrown 11 passes this year. So in all candor, I can't tell you exactly what his qualifications are going to be. He's only thrown 11 passes, as I said. Also, the number one wide receiver, Hunter, is in the transfer portal. So that takes a lot of firepower away from the Bears. For UNLV, the two biggest misses are going to be Ricky White, who is the outstanding wide receiver and special teams player. I believe he's blocked four punts this year. Mm-hmm. He is going to opt out for the NFL draft. And one of the top cornerback, Tony Grimes, is also going to sit out. A couple of running backs have also joined the portal. But I think there's enough meat on the bone for the Rebels. You know, I was expecting a lot of kids to go to Purdue to join Odom, but actually hardly anybody's gone. So the team roster is basically the same. Alexander will coach. I like the Rebels. They're -3. The game opened up at -1 California, but the money is switched over to the Rebels. Rebels -3 tonight, Ralph.
All right. The UNLV running Rebels are football team that had an outstanding year, and we're predicting that they take the LA Bowl tonight in Southern California, and UNLV -3. That game starts at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and I'm sure it's on TV somewhere. All right, are we getting a pick at Turfway?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go to race four at Turfway, Ralph. 6.5 furlongs. Of course, everything's on the tapeted surface. It's claiming 15. We're shipping in from Southern California, a trainer that is familiar to the California players. Ed Moger has a stable, a division at Turfway Park. And the number four, Capo Luigi, is making his Kentucky debut. He's got experience running on Tapeda up at Golden Gate Fields. I think that's a hidden edge that people may overlook. 5-1 is a square price. They drew 14, Ralph, but they'll scratch a couple to get down to 12. So I think price will hold. Number four, Capo Luigi in the fourth.
All right, fourth race at Turfway Park tonight. Number four in the fourth race, Capo Luigi. And by the way, I think you were going to tell me where UNLV is going to be on TV.
It's probably going to be on ESPN. I haven't seen the channel, but okay. It's not going to be hard to find, believe me.
All right. Well, okay. Now we go through the bowl season. We'll be touching upon you every day for the daily bowl games to see what we got going there as well. And, yeah, of course, you'll be back with your full selections for Southern California on the opening of Santa Anita. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, go Rebels. And we'll be right back with John and Jerry to wrap up this show. Don't go away.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas, and we just got Sean got the information for where the UNLV will be. It's going to be on ESPN, so the UNLV game will be on ESPN, 6 o'clock Pacific time. Thanks, Sean. All right, time to go to John Lindo standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. We're dusting off the other portion of the the studio here for you on our desk here. So we'll expect you to see on Friday and Saturday, right?
I'll be out there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that and get out and say my hellos and then get ready for the holiday.
All right. The deal with Pleasanton withdrawing their extension request. What's the deal?
Yeah, the CHRB has a meeting tomorrow, and at that time they were supposed to consider the application for a meet for Pleasanton coming up. Pleasanton has withdrawn that meet. There will be no meet at Pleasanton from after today, and it's still possible to run the California Fairs next summer. We'll see what happens at places like Fresno and Ferndale and Stockton and all those things. But between now and then, how many of the horsemen from Northern California are going to stay? How many of the horses that they have right now are going to fit if they try to run at Southern California? There's a lot of fallout that's going to happen from this, and I feel bad for the horsemen up there and for the fans. We've got some good fans in Northern California that have been dealt a bad product for a lot of years.
Well, First Racing, who owns Santa Anita, did make a statement after that decision was made. They said on behalf of the First Racing, they're proud that the industry stakeholders have united to forge a sustainable future for California racing. They believe that just racing all the racing there in Southern California will ensure that the pools will be large enough then to make up for the deficits they're having down there, because they think that the people in Northern California obviously will be betting the races through the simulcasting in Southern California.
Well, this is something the Astronaut Group has wanted all along. Why they closed Golden Gate, they wanted to scoop up the Northern California simulcast revenue and bring it to Southern California. I just don't know. That'll help put a little finger in the dike and stop some of the bleeding. But You know, when you're having races now going to be run at Santa Anita for 5,000 or 6,250 claimers, this is known as the great race place. So the quality is obviously going to dip a little bit. And we'll see if the fans still want to play it. We're going to see how much of a needle that moves.
Well, John, all I can say is that if they wanted to conduct a Golden Gate type of meet for Northern California races, and they should, extend Wednesday and Thursday for that type of racing, and then Friday through Sunday for the usual Southern California racing, I think that would utilize and try to balance it the best way they can. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but we'll wait and see. But we do have a closing day today at Pleasanton, and all the mandatory payoffs today at Pleasanton. So we wish all of the Northern California horsemen the best during these trying times. Your Linda report for this week.
Going to Florida this week. We'll do Gulfstream Park Thursday through Sunday. Again, good cards throughout the week at Gulfstream. The weather should be good. So we'll concentrate on Gulfstream Park this week and see if we can get lucky.
All right, John, and we'll try to maybe take a look at some of those stakes races going to happen day after Christmas on the big opening day at Santa Anita with their big six stakes races there, three grade ones, three grade twos among the six, including the Lafitte Pinkai Jr. Stakes, which puts a smile on your face as mine as well. We'll try to go over a little bit of those tomorrow as well.
Yeah, entries will be drawn tomorrow. Well, we won't have the entries for tomorrow's show. They'll draw tomorrow afternoon. So we'll check them out later in the week.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it on Friday when you're in studio.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. And finish up your Christmas list, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jakowicz standing by. Jerry Jakowicz wants to tell us how to find a key horses for key plays. And we're all listening, Jerry. Good morning.
Right. Well, I do. I want to tell it so badly. No. So it's really the foundation play of a person who's going to play to win, who's really going to win at horse racing. There's a lot of other good bets. They all have their place, their time. But the one that, from day to day, on a day-in, day-out basis, should be the cornerstone of your play and take the majority of your bankroll is the key horse idea. What is a key horse? A lot of people don't have a definition for it. It's sort of whatever they like at the moment. I like this horse. 3-1. That's great.
Yeah.
A key horse is a horse that has not, first and foremost, has not run his best race or the best race of the horses in the race in the last race. If you see a horse who came in first or second at the same class or close up third or fourth or high speed figure at a better class and is dropping down and has clearly won at that class before, that's not a key horse. That's not a candidate. That's a horse you're going to use in your exacta turns. So if it beats you, you'll cash with it. A key horse is a horse that's on the improve. It's a little bit imaginative. It's a little hard to see. What my best teacher in the end, Richie Schwartz, I started with him 15 years after I was already a really good handicapper.
Uh-huh.
As he said, Jerry, it's a buried horse. It's got buried form. It's not easy to see. If you get to it too easily, it's no good. It's not a key horse. A key horse is something you struggle to get to, and you imagine things that are going in his favor, and you start to recognize that this horse has a forward move in him. It's going to run better than better than is obvious
else. Now, let me ask you a question. Within that realm, do you have to do a lot of forgiving in watching and going through the racing?
Sometimes, yeah.
You got to do a lot of
forgiving. Sometimes you'll forgive the last race. You'll just say, he was 3 wide into the first turn and he had no chance and they backed off on him and just will throw
so
that race out.
If you can find a horse that has a good race, but you can forgive several races thereafter, is that what you would consider one of those?
Right. Races? I don't know about several, but the last race, surely you can. Yeah. Anytime you can throw out the last race and go back 2 to 3 races to find the form cycle that you're looking for sure. Or maybe it was a really bad race in his last race.
Yeah.
He's off 6 months.
Yeah.
Who cares? He got hurt in that last race. Throw it out. Now he's coming off a 6 month layoff.
Okay.
Now you kind of get the sense of what the horse is. But if you're betting the horse that ran the best race last night,
Jerry, the computer's going to cut us off. You want to continue this tomorrow? We'll be happy to do that. You want to do that?
Sure. Why not?
All right. Say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas. Morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.